Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Absolutely. Touch someone, say, it's good to see you. Touch them back, say, it's good to be seen. The alternative is not such a good thing, you know? I have a couple of almost true stories. A pastor walks in, a pastor of a church, sitting at his study when the phone rings. "Hello, is this Reverend Jones?" the caller asks. "It is," replied the pastor. "This is Stan Johnson from the Internal Revenue Service. I was wondering if you could answer a few questions." He said, "Well, I'll try." He said, "Do you know John Timmons?" He says, "I do." "Is he a member of your congregation?" "He is." "Did he donate $10,000 to the church?" "He will." A lady goes to a job interview. The interviewer decides to start with just some basics to break the ice. "So, miss, can you tell us your age, please?" And the lady carefully counts on her fingers for about 30 seconds. She said, 22. The interviewer looks at her a little puzzled, then tries another straightforward one to break the ice. And "can you tell us your height, please?" The lady stands up, produces a measuring tape from her handbag. She then traps one end under her foot, extends it to the top. She checks the measurement and announces 5'2". This interview isn't looking so good, so he really goes basic. And he says, just to confirm our records, your name, please?" The lady bobs her head from side to side for about 20 seconds, mouthing something silently to herself before replying, "Mandy." And the interviewer is completely baffled at this stage. He asks, "Just out of curiosity, miss, we can understand you're counting on your fingers to work out your age and the tape measure for your height, but what were you doing when we asked your name?" She said, "All that. That's just me running through, happy birthday to me, happy birthday to..." All right. A family from the hills of Kentucky was visiting the big city for the first time. They stayed at a high-rise hotel with a big brass elevator right off of the lobby, and the father and son stared at it in amazement, wondering what it was. After staring at it in awe for a few minutes, the boy looked up to his dad and said, "Pa, what do you reckon that there thing is?" He asked, and the father, of course, replied, I don't rightly know, son." Just then, an old frumpy woman with curlers in her hair walks up the steps and into the elevator, and the door shut behind her. About 30 seconds later, the door opens again, and a beautiful young blonde lady wearing a miniskirt walks out. Father leans over and says, "Boy, go get your ma." Oh, that is so wrong on so many fronts. How many of you have ever had a struggle with things from your past, you know, your history, whatever? Let me just wave your hands at me. You ever struggled with your past? Yeah, me too. You know, as I was studying the Word this morning, the Lord spoke something to me that was just so powerful. What was really incredible is while Kevin was leading worship, he starts talking about the past and how we don't live in our past. And I leaned over to Janice. I said, "He doesn't know how prophetic he's being right now," because he was actually nailing down some of the things that I'm going to talk about. So well done, Kevin. You do hear God. Good job. Give him a hand clap right now. Yeah. Hey, when you see him when he's leaving, just say, "Hey, buddy, you do hear God. It's okay, all right? All right." Well, I have a word for you today that I believe is going to be encouraging. And so turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. This is fresh stuff right here. The Lord was speaking to me through the Word this morning. And so it says in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, "The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud," say a pillar of cloud, "by day to lead them on the way." Now, the pillar of cloud leads them on the way, and a pillar of fire, say pillar of fire, "by night to give them light." Same pillar, right? In the daylight, though, you saw the smoke, right? And at nighttime, you saw the fire. Same cloud. You know, it's like a campfire. In a campfire, when you walk in the daytime up to a campfire, you don't know so much notice the flames, you notice the smoke, right? Because the smoke's visible by day. And at nighttime, though, you don't necessarily see the smoke as much as you see the flame, right? Make sense? So there's this fire that's occurring in this pillar, this gigantic pillar. And it says that it was so that they might travel by day and night. Say day and night. Or say it this way, say all the time. So it says the Lord was going before them. Say the Lord was going before them. All the time. All right, the Lord was going before them all the time. And we know that. We believe that. We live that. We as Christians, as believers, as they who place their trust in the Lord, know that the Lord goes before us. But I'm going to show you something very interesting today that will help you deal with the stuff from the past. You see, it's important that we understand the Lord goes before us. A couple weeks ago, I preached the message, and I used the example of that at every intersection in life, God is on the other side of that intersection, and he knows exactly what way we should go, and he's beckoning us to come toward him in the way we should go, so we go the right way. Why? Because he's in our tomorrow, and he understands what the outcome will be. And he's leading us precisely into the right path, the way we should go, so we can become who he wants us to be, so we can do what he wants us to do. Does that make sense? You remember when I taught that? Bang your hands together if you remember that. All right. All right. So that's important. So what is this cloud? What is this pillar? Well, you see it all throughout the scriptures. You see it in Exodus. You see it in Ezekiel. You see Jeremiah talk about it. You see Isaiah, the prophets, talk about it. This pillar of smoke, this flame, and it's always associated with the presence of God. Now, this isn't just a representation of the presence of God. This is something more. This is something deeper. This is something more profound, I believe. See, this pillar, as Ezekiel talked about, when you gazed up into the pillar, you actually gazed up in and saw the throne of God. When you looked through, everyone say through. Not into, but through the pillar, you saw angels and you saw the throne of God. What I believe this is the veil. This is the separation. This is the gate between heaven and earth. And that God led, he had this opening between heaven and earth that he caused himself to be present on earth enough that he could lead the people of God so the people of God would come toward him. He was in their tomorrow and leading them the way they should go. Now you understand this. You know this is the people of God. You know that God is all about, he loves you so much that he's in your tomorrow. We got that down, right? And I think that's fantastic, and I think it's important to look forward. But listen, until we put our past in the right place, we cannot look forward correctly because we're always looking over our shoulder. We're always waiting for that next shoe to drop. We're always waiting for the sword of Damocles to fall on us. We're always waiting on that thing that always goes wrong, that always surfaces again, that always interrupts my life, that always causes blessing to turn to curse. We're always kind of waiting for that. We always got that feeling on our shoulder like, yeah, things are going good, but when is that going to happen again? Have you ever felt that way? I'm telling you, it is a weapon, a tool of darkness to keep you from what God has in front of you. I mean, we see it as I look back and I see some of you that were in the military. I see how the enemy imprints on men and women's lives events from traumatic situations in wartime, accidents that occur in life for those of us that have been in auto accidents, you know, injuries that have occurred that have changed or shifted the direction of our lives, sickness that has affected us and changed the way that we function in life. Those things from the past can be so powerful to affect our future and steal the very dreams that God intends for us. But that's not part of God's plan. That's not part of who He is. That's not part of what He wants for you. But unless we know how to deal with that, unless we know how to put our past in the right place, we can't look forward correctly. Because we always have that sneaky shadow that's following us around no matter what we do. Yeah, there's light in front of us, but I got this shadow right here. How many of you know in the kingdom of God there are no shadows? But how do we get from where we are here with that shadow following us to where He wants us to be, where there is no shadow? I believe the Lord has shown me some things, and let's take some time and just explore that together. So here Moses and the people of God are, and they're following this cloud, this transition between the kingdom of earth and the kingdom of God that God is choosing to lead His people with. It's interesting that people coming out of the world to pursue God always cause God Himself to show up and defend and protect and provide for His people. I mean, we see that in the next chapters that follow. We see that when there's a people that stand up and say, you know what, I want to go after God. I want to follow, I want to pursue God. I want to live my life for God. I'm telling you, when you do that, God stands up. And He says, I will be your provider. He even calls Himself that. One of the names that He gives Himself is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, my provider. One of the names that He gives Himself is Jehovah Rapha, God, your healer. Are you with me? He doesn't just want to do these things. He identifies Himself. He is that. He is your provider. He is your protector. He is your defender. It's not just a nice idea that He may or may not do. This is who He is. And whoever God is, that's what comes out. Are you with me? Hey, if anybody is anywhere near those thermostats, if you could turn the heat down, please, I would be so grateful to you. Yes, Jesus. Whoo! And if you're cold in this room, come up here and I'll give you a hug for about 3 seconds and you'll be fine. I mean, look, let me ask you something, though. So it says that God's going before them that by day and night He's with them. Why is life so hard? I mean, why doesn't God just evaporate our enemies and all the junk in life that makes life so difficult? Why? I mean, He's God, right? He can deal with it. He can just make it poof. I mean, I think that's how we think of God sometimes. He's got this little, you know, wand that He walks, poof. I mean, because that's how everybody else's life is. You know, because Larry doesn't struggle like I struggle. And, you know, Lamont doesn't struggle like I struggle. And, you know, because I don't see their struggles. I just see Larry up here playing the drums and just having a good time being that Jerry Garcia lookalike. Come on, somebody. Lamont, he's just being the mountain of God. You know, that's what his name means, the mountain. La Montaña. Yeah, walking around just like he's walking around through the aisles. Jesus, Jesus. Like he got no problems in the world. Not like I do. I mean, why is life so difficult? Why doesn't God, like He does for Larry and like He does for everyone, just poof, poof. Their lives are perfect, right? Well, until you talk to them and you find out what life is really like, right? Are you with me? Look, they got to trust God the same way you and I do. Are you with me? I haven't met someone yet whose life is without struggles. And listen, the higher you go, the greater you go, the more you mature in the Lord, the greater the struggles can be. Well, why? Because He's built you bigger and better so you can take on bigger and better giants. Yes. You can conquer higher mountains the higher you go. Are you with me? Does this make sense? It's by design. Yes. Exodus 14:4. This is after it says the Lord's going before them. He said, thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after them. Wait, what? I, God, want Pharaoh to come after you? Did I read that right? And he'll chase after them, and I'll be honored through Pharaoh and his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. And they did so. I mean, come on. If I was Moses, I'd say, Lord, whoa, slow your roll. You got that wrong. No. Poof, right? And that's not what the Lord did. I mean, why are the Lord chasing us? Why did you allow this? See, the Lord didn't just allow it. He intended it. Yeah. Why? So the whole earth will know that he is God. Yeah. Can I just be a little naked right now? Can I just be a little bit honest right now? That almost sounds selfish on God's part. I know you would never say that. You're far too holy for that. But I thought that thought. Father, really? You're going to make my enemy come after me so you can be known as God? Don't you care about me? And again, I know none of you have ever felt that way, but I have. I've felt at times like, God, I know you love Larry, I know you love Lamont, but really? Don't you love me too? I mean, I'm your child. It's not selfish on God's part. As a matter of fact, it's the most loving thing he can do. See, to allow people to go on thinking that he is not the Lord God is probably one of the worst things that could be done. Because it gives them the ability to be heavily deceived. God needs himself to be known as Lord God because it's only then that he can position himself in your life to be Lord God. But if you don't know him as Lord God, he can't be Lord God to you. Instead, the Lord chooses to reveal himself without question, and that is love. Now watch this. So we got Moses that confronts Pharaoh, and we know everything that happened, the plagues, and then the death angel goes over Egypt, kills the firstborn, but not anyone who painted their doorpost and lintel with the blood of the lamb. They painted, let me show you this again, they painted the doorpost and they painted the lintel with the blood of the lamb. How many of you know they were prophesying and borrowing from something that was going to take place several thousand years ahead, and they were pulling it back into the moment they were in? Why could they do that? Because God is not a God of time, but he is a God of eternity, and he moves in the eternal realm, not bound by time. And what Jesus did several thousand years later, they were able to pull back and apply to their lives in that moment. God is not a respecter of time. Come on, somebody. I'm going to say that again. God is not a respecter of time. God moves in the past, in the now, in the future, simultaneously. He is before, during, and after time. Come on, somebody. He is before time was ever created now, and he is after time ends now. So time's not an issue for God. And he'll move in those realms. You'll see that take place. You'll see someone I was cutting wood one time because we were low on wood and we were heating our house primarily with wood. And so some friends of mine came over on a snowy day and we were cutting down some locust trees. And I cut down this one locust tree and the one young guy, he stuck his hand out to push the tree off the stump. The tree was only about that big and he pushed it off the stump. But when he did, he kind of slipped in the snow, and he put his hand on top the stump, And a branch came down that was right above and just pancaked his hand. And my other friend, Roy, and I got the tree off, and he pulls out his hand, and immediately his hand is about twice as wide as it should be, and it's broken. It's mangled. It's like hospital time. And man, God, why does this stuff happen? He's just trying to help me. And I'm just trying to be a good steward and make keep my family warm and, you know. And the Lord said, why are you all upset? Why don't you just pray and release healing to his hand? It's real easy to say that when someone's hand's not all messed up. But when it's staring you in the face, it gets very real. And I said, well, look, guys, let's pray. And so Roy put his hand under Eric's hand, and I put my hand over top of his hand. I mean, it was immediately black. There were broken blood vessels in it. It was swollen up. We needed to get him to the hospital. But we took a couple seconds out because we wanted heaven to come to earth. See, God didn't intend for Eric's hand to be that way. You say, but why didn't God just poof and not allow that to happen? See, the beauty of this is that I'm not God. I don't always know why he does what he does, but sometimes he'll tell me why he did what he did. Sometimes he does things to remind us that he's God and I'm not. I would rather have prevented that. But instead, God had a different plan. And we put our hands on this boy's hand. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, just heal his hand, mend every broken bone, blood vessel, everything that's wrong, heal now in Jesus' name. And when I pulled my hand away, this is no joke, the swelling immediately went back to the normal sized hand. Instantly, just like instantly, there was still a little bit of bruising on top, but he went like this. He went, huh. And me, I wanted to dance. Like, I wanted to, like, in the snow, you know, go God, go God. I know, please don't do that. Yeah, okay. I don't care. I'm telling you, God just showed up. See, here's what happened. So you say, well, how could it heal that fast? Because God's not a respecter of time. He went over into the future where Eric's hand was healed and pulled from that and said, you know what, I'm just going to apply that right now. I'm going to accelerate time to such a moment. Now, what's funny is there were still some marks. There were still a couple cuts because when I cut through with the chainsaw, it left a couple, you know, sharp pieces, and he had a couple just minor, nothing serious, but just a couple, just a reminder of what just happened. But he finished out working the rest of the day. He didn't have to go to the doctor. He was perfectly fine. Now that's God not respecting time. Accelerating time. Are you with me? God can do that. You know why he can do that? It says in, I think it's Psalm 115, or it could be 105. I don't remember. It says, there is a God in heaven, and he will do as he pleases. Someone give God a hand clap right now. Yeah. And so here's the people of Israel. They're leaving Egypt. And they're getting away from the bondage of slavery. Why? Because God wanted them to be free. God wants you to be free. Well, okay, but if God wanted me to be free, then why didn't he just let me get free and not have the Egyptians come after me? Because God had to be God. And he had to be it in such a way because he knew the giants you were going to face were even greater than what was behind you. And so he needed to set you up so you could believe for what he wanted to do in the future, not just escape your past. It says in Exodus 14, 19 through 20, then the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, say before, So the cloud is before them. It says it moved and went behind them. Say behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. So here's the gateway of heaven that moves from before them and goes behind them. I want you to get this concept. Say, God moved from before them and went behind them. See, they feared their past. The Egypt represented the world, the past, the bondage that they walked in, those who enslaved them, those who were masters over them, those who beat them, those who treated them poorly. And so God made a way. Moses led them with the cloud, led them forward away from their past. But how many of you know their past was following them, was the shadow that just wouldn't seem to go away? And God intended it. Why? Because he wanted to eliminate the shadow. And so the cloud moves from before them and goes behind them. How many of you know when you're moving forward with God, your eyes aren't necessarily on the path you're walking. Your eyes are on the Lord. That's where they should be, right? Your peripheral vision sees the path ahead of you, but ideally, why is that? Why is it that God wants that? Because he wants you, whatever you focus on becomes bigger to you. If your path is your focus, your path becomes the biggest thing in your life. And when there's a bump in the path, when there's a rock along the way, when there's a hindrance, when there's something standing in your way, when there's a mountain in your path, if you stare at that, it becomes bigger to you and becomes the thing you will serve. But if your eyes are on the Lord and your path is in your peripheral vision, then God becomes the biggest thing to you, then he's bigger than anything that can be in your way. Are you with me? Your eyes must always be on that place where you can see the Lord. But what's interesting in this situation, God changed everything. It's the only time that I see that the Lord moved the cloud from before them and moved it behind them. I'll remind you again what I just said. It's the only time I see in the Word of God where the cloud moves from before them and moves to behind them. Why is that? Because God only has to deal with your past one time. And if you deal with your past correctly, it cannot be the shadow that ever comes toward you again. So as the cloud moves behind, Israel turns, because let's be honest, they were already looking behind themselves. How many of you know it's not good to walk backwards? Do you ever have your kids like, they just think it's fun walking backwards? You say, hey, you better stop that. No, I think it's fun. All of a sudden, boom. How's that working out for you? So they're staring into their past, but God doesn't want them staring at their enemy. God puts himself between them and their enemy, between them and their past. And he wants their eyes to be elevated once again to him and look to heaven from where your help comes from. See, God doesn't want your past to follow you around. He wants to deal with your past once and for all so that it can never attach, it can never follow you again. The beauty is when you conquer your past, then that conquering will go before you and remind the enemies that is in front of you what their fate will be. Woo, that's good stuff. Exodus 14:25. We know what happens. The wind blows, parts the water. They go through the water on dry land. It says the wall was a wall of water beside them. How many of you know it takes courage to walk the way the Lord wants you to walk? God will cause you to walk into places that there's no natural way you can do this, but he wants you to do it anyway. Why? because he wants your journey to be all about trusting him and keeping your eyes on him. Are you with me? And so they walk through the dry land. When they get to the other side, we pick up the story here in verse 25. It says the Egyptians tried following Israel. Your past is going to try to follow you. Your past is going to try to remain attached to you because that's the only significance that your past has. It's attachment that you give it. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve. He made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." Listen, when you're hard after God, God will position himself in the correct place so that your enemies, the strength of your enemies, will become their weakness. Their chariots were their strength. But yet when they tried to follow the people of God, it says they were swerving and they were all over the place, and the very strength that they held as their ability to conquer became their very weakness. Egypt's military strength was in their great armada of chariots, yet with one simple act of his will, the chariot wheels became bound up, possibly sand, possibly the salt in the air, or by a proactive move of the Lord. Either way, the chariots were no longer the mighty weapons, but became a difficulty for the enemies of Israel. When we face an enemy and rely on the Lord, he will take their strength and make it their weakness. Your past is trying to attach itself to you. Your struggles of the past are trying. Listen. Help me, Holy Spirit. The only weapon the enemy has is your agreement. Your past is speaking something to you, and it is your choice whether you agree with it or not. There are many of us in this room that are in this moment in time. The eternal God is stepping between me and my past, between you and your past, and is about to create a disconnection that can never be made again. But it will take your agreement. The enemy is trying to speak from your past into your future and create an identity of who you are. But God is saying, you are not who your past says, you are who I say that you are. That video clip I showed you. See, it could have all ended right there. There were just a few seconds left in the game. They had the perfect opportunity. The ball slips. Ben Roethlisberger throws a perfect pass. It slips through Santonio Holmes' hands. He could have laid on the ground and lived in that past moment for the rest of his life. You can have your past if you want it. You can keep it attached to you if you'd like to. You can allow it to form who you are, or you can get up. If you just walk through a failure, if your past is haunting you, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because God is about to come back to you. Stand up with me as we close. I would like to tell you that failures are easy, but they're not. I would like to tell you that at some point in the future, when you grow enough in the Lord, that when the thing you've been counting on doesn't happen the way you thought it would happen, that it gets easier. It doesn't. I would like to tell you that It's easy to get up off the ground after it not working out the way you hoped, whether it be a marriage or a relationship, whether it be a job or your kids, whether it be something you prayed for, believed for. I would like to tell you that there's just this wonderful poof that takes place. The kind of you jump up and go, "Whoo, that was fun." I can tell you that's not the case. Jesus promises us there's going to be struggles. There's going to be difficulties. May I offer just some advice? When those things happen, we want to assign blame. Whose fault was it? I mean, we can blame ourselves and like sulk in the woe is me, like I'm a bad person, nobody likes me, think I'll go eat worms, you know? Or we can blame someone else. That's their fault. If it wouldn't have been for them, I would have been able to blah, blah, blah. You know what that does? That positions you as a victim. You have no control over what just happened. And so therefore, you have no control over what will happen in the future because that can always sneak up. Blame is all about your past. Some of us love to blame people. We like to point at other, it's the Democrats' fault, it's the Republicans' fault, it's this president's fault, it's that congressman's fault. Stop it! They're not in charge. God is in charge. And he's very large. Question is, are you going to trust him or are you going to trust all that stuff from your past? Are you going to allow God to speak and say, get your eyes up here on me? Get ready. The ball's about to come to you again. I don't know what you're talking. I can't. I'll never get the ball again. I'm just a failure. I'll never do anything good again. That was the good old days, and I just will never see that again. Stop it. Stop it. In Jesus' name, I bind that spirit. Don't walk in that. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Your hands are blessed. The things you put your hand to are blessed. Your children are blessed. Your grandchildren are blessed. But only if you trust that. Only if you set your eyes on him. Only if you sever the ties to the past. Only if you allow God himself to be the one who determines your future. What I'd like to do right now is I'd like to just take a moment and lay the acts of the Holy Spirit to the root of our past. Listen, I'm not saying we curse our past. I'm saying we celebrate. Wait, bro, you want me to celebrate that? Yep, because God got you through it. He got you to today. And today, he's about to speak to you and release you into a future that he will write the story for. Your story is not done being written. It's his story, not yours. Come on, somebody. But listen, that can only happen if you lay the root to your past. Now, some of you may have some things that linger a little bit. And listen, get them healed quickly and get released from them. I'm not trying to minimize any of that stuff, but I'm saying summarily, we lay the axe to the root of our past. We celebrate all of it, but we don't allow it to come forward into our future. And we're going to do that right now. Are you ready? Listen, only enter into this if you're ready. Now, being ready means that you may have to deal with some issues in the future, but you're not going to let them dictate your future. As soon as they surface, you're going to immediately look for healing. You're immediately going to go to the Lord and say, what do I do about it? Some of you, you might just need to pray and cut off that particular root. You may need to forgive someone.
I'm not sure what you need to do. Some of you may need to get a sozo. You may need to go through a little bit of ministry. That's all right, because that's still moving forward into what God intends, and it allows Him to have the voice to speak to who you are. Are you with me? But today we're going to summarily cut that root off. Can we do that right now? Say yeah if we can do that. All right. So close your eyes right now. Lift your hands up to the Lord and just see from heaven Him drop this amazing, beautiful axe into your hands. And He says, son, daughter, it's time. It's time to cut the shadow off. It's time to lay the axe of the Holy Spirit to the root of your past. It's time for it to stop speaking into your life. It's time to begin to receive my words over the words of your past. So I just see the Lord place that axe in your hand. And I see you with tears in your eyes as you look to the Lord. And you just say to the Lord, no one has the right to determine my future but you. I don't even have the right to determine my future. I give my right to you. And I just see you raise that axe as high as you possibly can get it. With all the strength that the Lord has given you, swing that axe down. And with a thud, it severs completely that root from the tree of your life. And in that moment is the most vile, nasty, screeching sound of all the demonic realm detaching from your life. All of the moments in the history of your life being severed that have held you back, all of the hurts, all of the disappointments, all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the things that formed you into something God never intended. And I see the cloud move from behind you back in front of you. And He whispered to you, come, follow me. But you will not go out in haste, nor will you go as fugitives, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Just say this, no longer, Lord, do I let my past determine my future. It is severed. And when the past tries to reach forward, I just pull the axe out and remind the past that it is severed from me in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, only you, only you, only you have permission to determine my future in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Father, bless them, keep them, make your face to shine on them, lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace and your grace. Father, I am so grateful that you determine our future, that you're in it. You're in my tomorrow. You're saying, come on. Come on, let's play together. Let's have fun together. Let's become together. I got you. I got you. I will never leave you. I'll never not have an answer for you. Just put your eyes on me. And trust me, I'll lead you. So, Father, bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the people of God said,
Amen. City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.